I got it.
All right. Here we
Okay,
go,
good.
boys.
Yeah.
You want me to start this one off? Because I know I already know what I'm going to say. All right, so.
Because I want to know where this is going so many times.
So this one's going to be on, like, managing your chiropractic network, kind of creating relationships and friendships in the community. And with, like what we have, right? Like, it's good for us to have a network of chiropractors that you graduate with and, like, you can shoot the shit with and call them up and be like, dude, what do you, I don't know how to do this PI case. How do I bill it, right? I don't know. We stole all of Demir's intake forms and stuff like that and looking at each other's websites. And
oh,
so,
yeah.
Oh, that's good.
No, you
that,
have
like,
the PI stuff. I don't know how to do that.
But having that tight-knit community is a big deal. But when you're going back to the place where you're going to practice, I think, like, kind of my approach was know as many chiropractors as you can. So, like, when you're in school, and especially towards the end, shadow them and make them all think that you want to work for them, like, all of them. Don't, like, you know, like, get in tight with them, and then maybe it doesn't work out, but it ends right, and you just created that relationship, because there's a few huge benefits from that. One of them is, like, if you're friends with the local chiropractors in your community, it's a really good thing, especially the busy ones. They will send you people, right? Like, they will have some people they can't get in on a Friday, and they're going to be like, hey, go see my boy Chris. He's awesome down the street, right? Like, they're actually cool, especially with new patients, that they're not there existing. They're not scared to lose them to you, you know? And then one of the things I did that was really huge was I told all the chiros that I do cover work. So, you know, in the beginning of your practice, when you don't have, you know, you may have four patients in a day or two patients in a day, and you'll get a call from a chiropractor who's been practicing for 25 years, and he'll ask you to cover his practice for a week. And my rule was I only do half days. So, like, yeah, I'll do it, but I'll do Monday through Friday or Thursday, 5 hours a day. And then you go in there, you get like 20, $25 a patient. You see like 30 people in 5 hours because the way they run their practice. It's good practice. You get your hands on a ton of people. You work with a ton of conditions. It helped me grow as a practitioner, but also, like, those people a lot of times will seek you out. Like, don't ever go in there and poach someone's patient, you know? Like, don't ever go into a practice and be like, you should come see me in my office. That's a bad idea. That's not the energy you want to put out in the universe. It's not going to serve you well. But I mean, I want to say I covered for 5 practices in my first couple years. And I never gave anyone my number. I never handed out cards, nothing. And I would say on the low end, I have 200 patients that came from other practices that now see me. Whether that other chiropractor retired, or they couldn't get them in when they wanted to, or they just liked you a little better, your approach was a little better, it actually grew my practice like crazy. And it helped me a ton. Just having that little network of chiros that trust you, like you, and then your little network of chiros that you can shoot the shit with and hold each other accountable. Those two things are huge.
Yeah, I think
I don't know what you guys did.
Yeah, one thing that you touched on, which I think is important too, is like this idea that, like, if you go into seeing and meeting other chiropractors with like this scarcity mindset where you're like, oh, there's only so many patients to go around, then you're not going to have a good relationship with them. And if you're hanging out with chiropractors that have that scarcity mindset, they're probably not going to be nice or, you know, they're not going to want to engage with you. So naturally, if you go into, you know, whether you're just, you know, going into someone's clinic or you're sending them an email or you say, hey, I'm new to town, do you want to go out and have a drink or whatever? I think just being friendly and realizing that like there's a lot of loneliness in this profession when you get out of school, because you don't have those conversations that we got to have all the time when we were going to Palmer, where you actually feel like a camaraderie between, you know, you and your coworkers or you and your friends, because like when you're out practicing, a lot of the time it's just you. Like, maybe if your partner is also in medicine or something, you can have some common talk about that. But for the most part, the only time I ever get to really talk about, you know, therapeutics or marketing or building or whatever with is with you guys. And that's huge. I think I would probably go crazy if I didn't have something, some kind of outlet like that too. So I think making sure that you're going into that with that, this mindset that there's lots of patients out there. Like, you're going to have an opportunity to see lots of people. And kind of like what Chris touched on too, it's like, if you run across someone in their practice or they're referred to you, or just even if it's temporary, and they find that what you're doing is better and they want to stay with you, that's actually just called patient-centered care, right? Like, if that person can deliver something better, or if even just like that therapeutic relationship is better, at the end of the day, it's better for everybody. So if you do it in a non-sleazy way, I think just giving people options and letting them know what's out there is can be really good too.
Definitely.
That frees up an appointment spot for that chiro to see someone else who's going to be a good fit for them patient-wise, right? So I think it's like that. I think keeping that abundance mindset where it's like there's so few people that actually go to chiropractors. So we all have the potential to be busier. We just have to not be infighting and worried about, you know, being protective and being, you know, being concerned about that stuff, and just focus on doing good work.
Focus on keeping a healthy relationship with your neighbors, because the last thing you want is for someone to have a, at least for me, is my reputation matters. And I don't want someone to have that bad, sour taste in their mouth about me, even like a, let's call it like a colleague, or maybe a someone else, like a physical therapist or an osteopath. I kind of share the wealth around here. Then I try to refer in places that I trust. And also when it is that time where I can't get a patient in and I do have to, I'm like, oh, you know what? Hit up my friend, Michelle Snow. You know, I'm confident that Michelle is going to be a good choice and she's going to do a good job and the patient's going to be satisfied. They're going to be happy that they went there because I couldn't get them in and they had like an emergency thing going on. But I think that that's a pretty key point, is like when kind of like what Chris was doing, like you're not going there and you're like trying to like quote unquote like poach patients. And you know, I'm always confident that if I send someone to another chiropractor, they're going to come back to me eventually. But it's not that big of a deal. Because like Dan says, it's like, what is the actual percentage of how many people are seeing a chiropractor? It's very small. And there's just, it's like such a slither part of the pie. There's so many more people that need help. And it's like, just go out and meet more people and let more people know your name. And what goes around comes around, in my opinion.
Yeah, even sure. Like a few years later, you know, sometimes like, yeah, how many times you get a new patient and they're like, yeah, so-and-so told me about him, and be like, who? Be like, oh, so-and-so moved to California like 3 years, 4 or 5 years ago. How long ago did they tell you about me? They're like, yeah, back like way before the pandemic, you know. It's constantly coming through. And that's such a good point. Like, just constantly do good work. And if you don't have that scarcity mindset, and you let go of like trying to squeeze as much juice out of every orange as possible, you know, it's actually you start to grow more. You know, I've had this patient, she's this older triathlete, and I adjusted her neck, and, you know, she was giving me this, like, nobody ever gets my neck. Yeah, no chiropractor. I was like, okay, cool. And, you know, adjusted her neck. She was like, that was the best neck adjustment I've ever gotten. And she sent me so many people. She's been in the triathlete community forever. She sent me so many people. And then, you know, she lives in like Evanston. It's, you know, maybe 20-minute drive from my office. And she couldn't come in and see me. And I referred her actually a Palmer West guy, my old intern, Travis Aarons from Palmer West. He's in Evanston. I was like, go see Travis. And she went to see Travis, and Travis is closer to her, and Travis, you know, does a good job. And so she sees Travis more than she sees me. She still sends me so many people. So it's like, who cares?
Yeah. I look at it like, if I refer out a lot of people just because I want people to be happy. And I don't refer always to shitty people because that's an easy move. I think a lot of people do. Like, go see this guy and then you'll really appreciate what I do. But I send to people and I have the thing, like, if they like that person more than they like me, or that person does a better job, that's on me. That's not on that chiropractor. You know what I mean? Totally. That's on me to be better. And at the end of the day, dude, some people just aren't a fit for you.
Yeah.
And they might be a fit for someone else.
And, you know, like, right? People like to be taken care of. And it's like, if I, like, say, like, hey, I'm not good at TMJ stuff, I'm going to refer you over to this person. They're really good at that, for this case. And then come back to me for your low back pain, or for vice versa or whatever. Like, people feel good that, you know, I'm taking care of them and I care about their overall health, even in a way that I can't help them. Just like if, you know, they had a broken bone, I'd refer them out. Or if they had lupus or something, I'd refer them out. You know, they'd be like, wow, this guy cares about me, as opposed to just trying to.
You don't treat lupus?
Of course I treat both broken bones and lupus, Dan. With chiropractic care, yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy just, he referred me someone that works for him. And she had texted him right after the appointment. I guess the quote was like, that was the best experience she had ever had in a chiropractor's office. And she's been treated by many chiropractors in her past. She's in her, I want to say, like, mid-40s, grew up going to chiropractors. And each town that she's lived in, she's seen someone new. And he called me and he was like, hey, you know, thank you so much for taking such great care of her. But the interesting thing about him is that I had referred him to go have a conversation with another practitioner about maybe getting some potentially PRP or something to help his shoulder, because I haven't been able to get him to that point where we want him to be with the function of his shoulder. I was like, you know, it's time to explore some more options as we're, you know, doing some rehab. And he was very disappointed with the experience that he had had with the doctor that they ended up going to instead of the referral that I had given him, because he felt like it was just like a run of the mill type show. And the guy didn't really listen to him, care. And he said, you know, I'm trying to find a Joe version of someone that can do injections. I was like, well, that's this guy. So go see this guy that I told you to, because I know that he's going to explain why he wants to do something with you. I know he's going to listen to what your needs are, and he's going to try to get you there if he thinks he can. And he's like, man, that's why I give your number out to so many people. And it's like, it's interesting to me, because I would say I've gotten him maybe 50% better over the past 6 weeks that we've been treating his shoulder. Not the best result. And he's very happy with what we've been doing. And I think that speaks volumes to how the practice is ran and how I communicate with a patient. And that to me gives me a better reputation when he goes and sees other practitioners and says, this is what I've been doing, and this is the guy I've been working with, and this is what he's been explaining to me. And they know that we're in it to try to help him. And he's like, and he sent me here to do this.
Hey, just to switch it up, I have a question for you guys. What are your thoughts on like treating other professionals for free, or doing trades and things like that when you're first kind of getting up and running?
Well, you mean other chiropractors or like
trainers? Yeah, not just PTs. Chiropractors, but like, I'm talking like, yeah, like personal trainers, massage therapists and stuff like that. What are you guys, how do you feel about that?
I started by treating them for free. Like, I think if you do that, you do it once. Like, let's do one trade. I show you what I do, you show me what you do. But I don't know, I'd rather, now I'm to the point where I'd just rather pay. Like, I'll pay you, you pay me. Like, I'm just another patient to you, you're just another patient to me. I don't like that thing where like I'm free and now they want to, you know, they want to like squeeze me in somewhere. Cause I don't want shitty care either. You know, I want like a solid treatment. So I'd rather just, hey, listen, I'll pay you, it'll be perfect, you pay me, and then we could both see what you do. But I don't mind giving them a little discount.
And I think there's something to be said about like, hey, I know I need more manual like therapy on my body, or more massage on my body every month. So I'm going to commit to going to 2 massages a month just because I think it's going to be good for my health. Like, I'm going to pay for that. I'm not going to do that because I'm trying to like get that for free. I might trade just to like when I introduce myself, or if I'm like, you know, feeling somebody out. You know, there's a physical therapist that works out at my gym. And we, you know, we've traded a few times back and forth, like just cause like it'd be on the cuff, like right then and there, kind of thing. But, you know, if he's like, oh, you know, I want you to start working on this, like I got this thing going on, and be like, yeah, go ahead and schedule an appointment just like everybody else. And that'll like make him like think about it a little bit more seriously, as opposed to, oh, hey, oh yeah, by the way, let's treat this thing real quick. Cause then, you know, you're not setting up anybody for success by just trying to treat it half-ass.
I used to trade haircut for some chiro with the girl.
Me like, too.
Yeah. And that was when I first moved to Arizona, and she had just started her business and I had started mine, and I get my haircut probably once every 4 weeks sometimes. And, you know, she was struggling. I was struggling. And then it was one day that we just kind of, I was treating her and she said, hey, you know, I've been getting busier and you've been getting busier. And I was like, let's start paying each other. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. So now we pay each other every time.
That's good. Each other. Yeah.
And like the way I look at it is, it in my head, that's still a trade, because she sees me probably like once a month or so. And I see her once a month or so. So it's like, here's the money. Let me have it back. Here's some money. Let me have it back. Here's some money. Let me have it back. So it's kind of funny to me how that ended up working out. We should have just done that at the very beginning. But we were both in this place of like, oh my gosh, I just started my own business. I'm so scared. Ah, I need a haircut. I need to get worked on. My back is killing me. I can't stand up and cut hair. I'm like, well, let's see where it goes. I'm with you, Chris, on that too. Like I'd rather pay. You know, I started paying people pretty early. Like just that that hairstylist was pretty much, I want to say, like my only real trade. Outside of that, not so much. The CrossFit gym owners, when I was in Sacramento, I remember that was a common practice for me, just so I can meet them and show them what it is that I do. But they ended up paying.
I feel like when I first started working, I was in a multidisciplinary clinic, and it was some of the best referrals I got were from just kind of opening up the opportunity to do trades with massage therapists. And it actually, I still, to this day, I think some of the best advice that I could give would be, don't be afraid. Like, I don't really like the idea of like really discounting services, because then people start to think, okay, well, if you're charging me $50 and normally you charge $80, so it's really worth $50. I'd rather actually treat someone for free and be like, hey, this is actually my gift to you. I'm going to give you this treatment, but you need to know that it's like, it's $80. And I feel like it's actually created like good relationships, good rapports. I feel like it's more than paid for what I put into it, but I also still pay for massage because that's the kind of stuff that I value. I think you kind of have to like practice what you preach too. But, and I think I definitely do it less, more and more now, but in my first couple of years of practice, having, you know, people that are walking by in the halls, like other, and I'm, my clinic that I was at was busy. Like there's like 30 people that work there within two locations there. It's quite heavy in RMT. So there's, there'd be like at any given time, there were like four or five massages going on at a time. People would work 5-6 hour shifts and they'd alternate a morning and an afternoon shift. So there's like lots of volume going through there. Lots of different practitioners that I like, you know, sometimes I wouldn't even see these people for weeks or months. And I just see them at like a staff party or a staff function or something. So that was an opportunity to just like, you know, put your hands on them too, because, you know, as soon as you do that, they're so willing to refer people because they know what you're doing and how different it is from what someone else is doing. Because a lot of people already have an idea of what massage is like, or what chiropractic is like, or what physio is like, or whatever, until they actually see, oh, like Chris's physio or not physio, Chris's chiropractic is very different than the other person's chiropractic that I've had. So I think like, I feel like even though you don't want to devalue the service by like, you know, discounting it or anything, I feel like some of the best relationships I've built and with trainers and RMTs and things have come from like me giving away services. But I also like what you guys had to say about that too. I think it's like, you have to look at all the pros and cons of that And there's nothing wrong with like experimenting a bit and then, you know, changing it up as you go along. But it's just good food for thought.
Yeah, that might be true for me for the gym, dude. A lot of those trainers at the gym, I treated them for free. I'm like, hey, I'm going to treat you for free. And then you know what I do. And then, you know, you'll know if one of the members needs me. Right. And fuck, did that work out? Yeah, I got so many, like, you know, those coaches sent me people every week. There was like six of them, and I'd get one from each one every week, you know. And then the ones that sent me more, I'd be like, dude, you sent me like six people in the last 3 weeks that come in. Let me rub your back for a little bit for that.
try this moist heat.
Take my time. I would start to work on other things with them too. I'd be like, hey, let's work on that knee you've been telling me about. And then they're like, you work on knees? And then a guy comes in. And I'm like, yeah, I'll even tell him, like, hey, with your client, show them this. If you have this type of knee pain, like, you do this. If this doesn't work, then send me. And then they would look good because sometimes it would work. And then when it didn't, they'd be like, you need to go see Chris. We tried everything we can here. Go see him.
Yeah,
that worked really well too.
Yeah.
See, and that's such a cool opportunity that exists when you break down that barrier of sometimes it's a barrier of cost or the barrier of opportunity for these coaches, because a lot of them don't have, you know, health benefits. A lot of them are not getting paid a lot. So I've always thought of it as like, you know, it's a nice way to like give back and also build good relationships in the community.
Yeah.
Dude, I fixed one of the coaches, the owner actually had a shockwave or had a lat issue that he's been dealing with for a while. And I shockwaved his lat and he was like 80% better the next week. And he's freaking out. And he came in, he's like, dude, I probably told 100 people this week that you fixed my lat with that machine. And he would see him going around and he'd be like, and people would come up to me and they'd be like, what's that machine Derek's talking about? What's that machine Derek's talking about?
Yeah.
Did it fix his lat? I have an elbow issue. Will it fix my elbow? You know, it's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, it was insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got a couple text messages from the guy we did the shockwave on his hip, and he got up and was freaking out. Like, how did that get rid of this sensation I always feel every time I do a hip car? He's like, wait a minute. No, this can't fucking, hold on. What the fuck just happened? He's like grabbing his head on the way out. He's like, that didn't actually just happen. He sent me maybe, I want to say like six people so far. And I don't even have the machine yet.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, oh, this guy's
perfect.
So, awesome. aside from that stuff, what other nuggets or wisdom do we have for people that are creating?
I think that's
community?
Pretty good. I think telling people, you know, to show your how you like unique you are in your services. And so how you're saying, Dan, like one good way to do that is not by just giving it away, but just kind of like showing how you differentiate yourself and your knowledge base and your skill base amongst, you know, people that that they've seen in the past or experiences that they've had in the past. And then, you know, how do you create value? And I think that's a very important thing. I think this is why it's so important to read all those books. All those, you know, E-Myth Chiropractor and Book Yourself Solid book and whatever all those early Joe's gonna tag them in the description.
like, I don't know how to do that.
I don't know how to do that. And I don't know the names of the books or the authors, but Joe's in the description for this. Joe's gonna add the links to the Amazons and everything. I think, you know, that's where you learn things that you don't learn in school, like the difference between price and value and all this kind of stuff. And I think that gives you that confidence to like charge what you charge. And that's, you know, your time is valuable and, you know, gives you that kind of confidence to know what your skill set is out there in the marketplace. And so that's what I would say in terms of like nuggets. It would be like, as you're getting yourself out there and you're trying to meet as many people as you can and, you know, touch as many people as you can, especially in the beginning. You know, definitely give away some, but always understand your value. And it's like, if somebody wants to like actually work on the problem that they have, be like, look, man, let's commit to this. Like, the next 6 weeks, come see me every Friday. Let's work on this. Like, let's fix it up and you'll feel a lot better. And usually like when they commit, they'll feel a lot better. And that's when they'll tell everybody.
Yeah. Something to think about too is, you know, thought about this a lot when I lived in California, and I think it stays true, is one, not all hands are created equally when it comes to manual therapy, chiropractor, massage, PT, hands-on therapy. No one's identical. So that's number one. Number two, the chiros I worked for were really big into that. I think it was called like Altadonna or something like that. It was like some practice management group back in the 80s. And they would say this line to me probably once a week during our meetings. And they say, why do people go to the chiropractor? And they'd have this long extended pause. And I just stare at them like, here it comes, like to get adjusted. And I always thought that they were wrong. I think that people go to the chiropractor because they're hurting and they want to feel better. That's number one. That's the thing that is going to keep you having a patient is you as a practitioner and the experience that you provide and the person that you are for them, the person showing up for them. So I remember shadowing a bunch of chiros before I even went to school. And I saw some, you know, like really high volume practice. I saw a guy that used an activator. I saw a guy that only used drop table. I saw a person that only pressed on people's foreheads and like other areas of the body, just like pressure point. But every patient loved their doctor. They just loved them. You know, they had good experiences. So whether, you know, do I agree with all those practice types? Not 100%, but at least that the people that they're working with are really happy. So I always thought that people go to the chiro because they like that person and they think that that person is going to be able to help them. So never losing sight of that is probably like pretty important. And also the scarcity mindset of like, I don't have enough patients and everybody's taking people from me. I'm the best. I'm this, I'm that. It's like, no one knows how good you are until they've experienced you. And that's where proof is in the pudding. So you have to be a good practitioner in order to get results. So
how do you get good, Joe?
Sign up for our course, Spine and Extremity Level 1. And a lot of other courses. Like you go to courses, learn as much as you can. You know, like you shouldn't practice like everyone else. You should practice how you practice, like a conglomeration of all this learning that you've encompassed, and you should be able to express that through your assessment and how you're going to treat. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure that, like, your patient that you had sent me probably saw a lot of similarities between you and me, Demir, but I guarantee you he would tell you there was some sort of difference. You probably thought I had a lot more hair,
a little bit more.
Definitely,
yeah, you're a nice guy.
Definitely shorter shorts.
Yeah, I think you know, it, just to kind of put a bookend on that, this PT that, you know, used to be a trainer at the gym, and he's finishing up PT school now, and I told him about our course, and he was super excited, and he's going to try to come out to one in Chicago if we do one. He said Davenport was too far, but after he worked on me, he was like, maybe Davenport, not too far, because I was like, yeah, can you like adjust my low back? And he tried to adjust my low back and it, you know, didn't go great. And then he tried to do an anterior and it didn't go great. And then he tried to do like an upper T move and it didn't go great. And I could see in real time that, like, you know, he was like, I've talked to him before. He's like, yeah, we learned 9 moves in PT school, 9 manips. And he thought they were pretty easy because, like, everybody in PT school probably adjusts really easily because everybody's young and healthy. And so he dismissed how hard the manual, you know, adjusting and the spinal manipulation and all this kind of stuff is. He just didn't value the how difficult of a skill set that was. He just thought it was all easy. And then he failed on me like 3 moves in a row. And I could see him in real time realizing, like, oh shit, this is really hard. I should probably work. And then I did those same moves on him and he was like, oh, okay, I should probably like practice this more. And it's like, going back to what you said, like, you don't know until you know, I guess, you know what I mean?
You have such a narrow, like, patient field in school.
Exactly.
Because a lot of us thought it too, because we were like a little bit ahead of some of the other people in our class. For the people that are in school right now and you think you have it figured out, I promise you do not have it figured out. I promise you don't have it figured out. Like, you're going to get out there. So having more than one way to do something, dude, like if you try an upper team move on someone and you miss, and as a patient, you're like, oh, I suck. Fuck, maybe not. Like, having another one to try, even if it doesn't go well, dude, you trying on that patient and figuring them out will go a long way just for that relationship between you and the patient. But you have to have more than one move. You can't do the same shit. Not everyone is easy to adjust. I promise right. you that. Like, going to this course is going to get you like, okay, for my, like, we're going to tell you, like, hey, for your body type, you can't adjust people like this. Like, anyone over 110 pounds, you're gonna fail. Like, you need to do this. Or hey, you're small, you need to use speed. Or hey, you're big, stop forcing shit, man. I know you can get it to move, but just because you pop doesn't mean that person's gonna feel better. Like, I'm gonna have a headache for 3 days because you just cranked on my neck so hard because you wanted it to move so bad. Yeah. Instead of getting that finesse and that timing, I'm like, that's what this is gonna do. So I'm like, hey man, for your body, for your speed, for this is the way you need to adjust an upper cervical spine. It's going to get you to the next level. You can't be doing the stuff they taught you in school to every patient when you get out. It's just not going to work.
Yeah. Let's cap it.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think one thing too, just to put a bow on that whole thing, is that, you know, there is nothing more motivating than failing when it really counts. And I think if you haven't experienced that in student clinic or in outpatient clinic,
you haven't,
or or in your first year of practice, it's like it makes or breaks people. Some people succumb to that disappointment and they end up switching their practice and they do something like activator or like low force techniques, or they just do decompression or they do something else, and other people use it as motivation. And you know, if you can truly get people that know what they're talking about and know what they're feeling to give you feedback, that is like the most valuable thing you can get. So that's one of the reasons why we've come together for this course too, is because we think that the feedback that you get, the hands-on, the instructions, all the little things that we picked up over our, what, like 7-8 years of practice together, cumulatively is going to be the most unbelievable value. So we're excited to bring this back to San Jose. It's going to be an awesome one. And it'll be nice to have Chris with us this time.
Well, we're doing evaluation too, right?
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which is cool. Cause dude, you evaluate someone's rotation of their neck and you adjust them. It doesn't move and it doesn't improve. And then you do a couple other things and it improved. It's all right. You know what I mean? You strip some tissue and stretch them out a certain way. And now they can turn their head. They're still happy. So learning, like every seminar is like just adjustment. If you fail, you feel like, oh, that's it. Now I'm screwed. Like, no, you're not. There's other ways to get them there. And you'll get them there. And then next time you'll get it to move. It's having that whole thing, the evaluation, the adjustment, the treatment, the everything.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Oh, yeah. And some serious and some honesty for once.
Yeah, boys.
All right.
Thanks, gentlemen. That was fun.
Until next time.
Good shit.
Be well.
Laters.
Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Don't suck.